Chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I am delighted to have Scylla Hall on the show today. Scylla is the founder and publisher at Gazelle Magazine. Scylla, I am so excited to have you here. You and I just recently met, but when I met you, I was just so blown away by your story and invited you on to the podcast to be a guest, and I'm so grateful that you said yes and made the time today. I'm excited for our listeners to get to know you better.
I am excited to sit across from you because I finally get to meet you in person, and I've heard such amazing things, so I'm looking forward to this conversation.
It's going to be wonderful. I mean, you have a very interesting story, so you have to tell us a little bit about how you grew up.
Well, I was born in Zambia, Africa, which is the southern part of Africa. My father was an executive in Zambia Airways. That's our national airline. I grew up a regular kid, enjoying playing outside, enjoying the things that we enjoyed many years ago before television and cell phones and all of that. When I turned 12, during that time, my father got transferred to Asia. We moved from Zambia to India. We lived in India for 5 years. And while we were living there, we didn't find an English-speaking school that worked for my family. So we lived in India. I had 5 siblings, and 3 of my siblings traveled to England every semester for school. So we're in boarding school. In 11th grade, Zambia Airways started having financial problems. So think of it in terms of TWA or just a lot of things that are happening to companies now. We transferred to a British boarding school in Kenya. It was owned by a British couple. And that is where I graduated from.
Okay.
And at that school, it was an international school. We had a lot of children with families who were in the United Nations. So if you were based in Africa, that's one of the schools you took your children to. So it was a very mixed high school community and grade school. That is how I grew up. And that
where were you in the birth order?
I'm first.
You're first. You're the oldest.
So I am the problem solver. I am the one who picks everybody up. I'm hoping to change that. But that has played a role into who I've become as a human being, honestly. And I have to say it's been very positive because you feel like you have no choice but to get things done.
Right. Yeah.
So that is how around the time I was getting ready to graduate from high school, the president of Zambia went on television and basically said, Zambia Airways is liquidated. So basically, Zambia Airways TWA'd. And everybody who was based outside the country had to come back to the country. It was very abrupt, which means all the work that my father had put into, all the money saved, all the benefits, everything
went
was
away.
On the line. And that is what changed my life. So when we came back to Zambia is when I started seeing my future in jeopardy.
Yes.
And that's when my thoughts of doing something by myself began.
Okay, so I want to talk about that, but I want to back up for 1 minute. So you were the runner-up for Miss Zambia. How old were you?
So when I went back to Zambia from India, there was a period of time when I just felt lost. I was actually at home, and a friend of mine came home and said, they are having auditions for Miss Zambia. You have to go. Now, keep in mind, I'd never done anything.
No pageantry or anything nothing. Like that in your past.
Nothing. It was just so abrupt. I went and I made it to the next phase. It was all such a blur. Mm-hmm. It wasn't something that I planned. It was just I went with fate. And before you know it, I made it to the girls that were going to be in the pageant. It seems like a dream now.
But so did you have to have a talent?
You had to have a talent.
Okay, so what was your talent?
I can't even remember what I did. But I'll tell you what I wore for the traditional wear.
Okay.
I went all Zambian. So I had the little thing you wrap around, you know, the African cloth.
Right.
You wrap around your waist mm-hmm. and over your, you know, basically your breasts
your bodice.
And
mm-hmm.
some
mm-hmm.
beads and a headdress and all of that. I had it on video for a long time. But I did not plan this. And then during the process of it, I made it to the top three contestants.
Amazing.
It was just...
It was just kind of on a whim.
It really was on a whim.
Yes,
and that's
great.
Pretty much how my life has been ever since.
On a whim.
Yes. So in the end, I ended up being the first runner-up. I know there are girls who fought for this for a long time. They mm-hmm. really wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just proud that I did something I'd never considered doing in my life.
You kind of got out of your comfort zone a little bit.
I got out of my comfort zone.
Which is where we learn and grow.
Yes, yes. But it was the beginning of knowing that maybe I could do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it probably built some confidence to know that, you know, you became the runner-up. So you made the decision when you were 19 years old to come to the United States alone. And did you have a big billfold of money? No, you didn't.
No, there was no money. And that's what, you know, my family was waiting on money. I mean, we went back to Zambia, had to get reorganized as a family, had mm-hmm. to figure it out. There just wasn't any money to give anyone.
Right.
But when I was in high school and communicating with my friends, and they were all going to all these different places, I knew that the United States was where I wanted to end up. So as I was sitting at home in Zambia, looking at my future dad just disappearing, I just got on my mom and forced her for months. I broke her down. After I took part in Miss Zambia, I just felt like there's just nothing else left. What I really want to do is just so much bigger. I want mm-hmm. to go somewhere mm-hmm. and start a life. And I bugged my mom every day. She got tired of it. I believe she didn't even have a lot. But she got my ticket. And all she had to give me was $200.
You had $200 in your pocket
yes,
when you came here.
But then when you get to England, which was where I transitioned from, you spend money there. So I came to America with $136 in my socks under my shoe because I heard America was dangerous and I had to be careful. You know, the stereotypes of places.
Right.
But yes, that's how my life in America started. In New York City. I took the bus from New York to Columbia, Missouri, because I had a friend in Columbia, Missouri, who was working on her master's at Mizzou. And I think that gave my mom comfort knowing that I was coming to someone.
Right. Coming to someone and in a fairly safe place, you know,
yes.
not as big of a place as New York City, right?
Yes. But I wanted to be in New York, but mm-hmm. that was the compromise. And
right.
thank God, because what was I thinking?
Yeah. Well, I know you've said, I wouldn't do it that way again.
No, I wouldn't. It just seems so right. risky. My daughter, mm-hmm. who's 19, is transferring to Mizzou in the fall. And that is freaking me out. And so,
can you imagine
yes.
sending your job from Zambia to the United States?
Exactly,
crazy.
Exactly.
Well, that's probably not an easy way. That was not an easy way to get your start. But you probably, at that time, you built resilience, perseverance. I mean, you know, that probably during that time of coming here alone with $136 in your pocket, or in your sock, I should say, built something in you that shaped your character. And, you know, that shows up in how you live your life today. And so you went to school at Mizzou.
So right? I ended up being in Columbia for a while. I got married to an American. We moved to St. Louis because his family was from St. Louis. And that is my ex-husband, the father of my two children. And we both had hard things happen in our lives. We just connected on that level. And we were both away from home. So if you think about your real first love and how you really believed he was the one, that was it for me.
That was it.
That was it for me. And that's how I came to St. Louis.
To St. Louis, okay.
And I attended AMSL. I graduated from AMSL and got my first job as a production assistant at Channel 5. That is where my journalism life started. But through it all, I had to work two, sometimes three jobs. I worked weekend differentials, which basically means I was a nursing assistant working 16-hour days on Saturday and Sunday so that I could go to school during the week. And then I had a part-time job during the week for when I wasn't in school. And along the way, I got pregnant. So when I graduated, I had a baby. I was a wife. I had two jobs. I graduated in just about 4 years with a 3.4 GPA.
That's amazing.
So it was just the blessing of saying, I can't afford to retake any classes.
I have to pass
I have to pass everything.
Right.
That desperation of having no money makes you do incredible things.
So you were at Channel 5, right?
I started at Channel 5.
And you didn't start, though, as the producer, right?
I was there for a while. I was the golfer, basically, and running teleprompter on Today in St. Louis with Art and Jennifer. And then I transitioned to Channel 11, where I got a job as an associate producer. So when I was at Channel 5, I hustled my way to be able to write stories in the newscast, which made it easier for me to segue to a different station, smaller, as an associate producer and assignment desk editor. And that basically means when things are coming through the scanner, I'm the first point. When breaking news is happening, I hear it first. So it's my responsibility to communicate it and send the photographers to cover. Just huge responsibility and very overwhelming for the first 3 months. And then you get it. My transition happened while I was there. I just did a lot of different things. And then I got rehired at Channel 5 morning producer.
Okay. Every step of the way, it's like a snowball. You're just putting more and more tools in your tool belt. Did these different things that you were doing at Channel 11, did you like put yourself out there? Did you put yourself in the mix of that? Or did people come to you and say, I've got an idea for you. Can you do this job? Can you do this job? Or were you being proactive with your own? Were you creating your own pathway,
I guess. I was definitely creating my own path. I just didn't have people telling me what to do next, which is something I'm changing for younger people, to be able to recognize talent and pull them up. But I didn't have a voice yet. I went in. I did what I did. I did it to the best of my ability. It helped my career move forward. I learned to have a voice and to speak up about what I wanted much later.
That's an interesting point there as well. I hear that a lot, you know, where it's like you've got to find your voice. And sometimes when you're younger, you don't have the courage, or you think, oh, you know, I'm not really sure if my ideas really have any merit or would hold water. But finding your voice, I mean, how else does anyone know?
And
you know
what you're capable of. Being comfortable with rejection.
Yes.
Because when you have a voice, you're going to get rejected.
Absolutely.
And it's very easy to withdraw into yourself. I found that once I got used to people saying no, it was easy for me to go out there because it's a 50-50 shot. What's the worst that can happen?
Right.
So it helped me develop thick skin.
Great advice. I'm so excited to continue diving into everything. We need to take a quick break and we'll be back with Cilla Hall.
Are you a rising IT leader? Could you benefit from a network of like-minded peers? Let me introduce you to the St. Louis Technology Leadership Experience. This one-of-a-kind program gathers cohorts of IT professionals for three workshops: peer small group problem solving, one-on-one mentoring by IT executives, and multiple networking events. You'll be prepared for your next steps as an IT leader by gaining core leadership competencies and a strong, powerful network of peers. To apply for our next TechLX cohort, visit tpi.co/TLX.
Sila, so you stayed in television for about 7 years, and then you had what I sometimes call a life interruption that really was the catalyst for what you're doing today, which is, as you have said, you're living out your passion. It's almost like a calling.
I'm living my passion. I'm living the life that I was destined to live. I was going through a divorce, and I had 2 children, a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old. For years, I'd worked a different shift from my husband. Mm-hmm. It's the downside of the news business. Sometimes the schedules are crazy. So needless to say, after 12 years of marriage, we were in different places. I was going through a divorce. Life was hard. I was suddenly a single parent. My question every day was, am I going to be able to manage this? Will my ex-partner show up to stay with the kids so I can go to work? Mm-hmm. I felt I was losing control. Mm-hmm. And as you know, divorce can be tumultuous. So I couldn't count on somebody being there for me to go to work every day. I just felt desperate. I mm-hmm. felt my life is out of control. I have no control over anything. I walked into my boss's office at Channel 5. I asked him, I believe for the third time or so, for a schedule change. And he said, we really don't want to move anybody right now. Everything's going great. It was the number one rated show at Channel 5. And I just felt so desperate in that moment. And I looked at him and I said, I'm sorry. I have to resign. And it was in the middle.
That's a bold move.
Oh, yes. It was in the middle of a recession when other departments were being shut down, consolidated. And he looked at me and said, you're quitting your job when you have one and people are losing their jobs? And I said, yes, I am. And he said, what are you going to do? It was just so unexpected. And I said, public relations. I didn't know when I walked in there mm-hmm. that's what I was going to do right. because I hadn't planned this moment. But I walked out of there in fear, trying to figure out how to go back in and say, scratch that.
Didn't mean any of that.
I didn't mean any of that. I had a moment.
Right.
But I realized, I felt a peace, though. I felt mm-hmm. like, yeah, this is what I should do. They asked me for 6 weeks. They asked if I could stay there in time for them to hire someone. I was okay with that because mm-hmm. I needed to figure out my life.
You needed to transition time,
I needed to transition.
Right.
It's incredible what happens when you make a decision about something. Opportunities start opening up. I got my first PR client during those 6 weeks, which got me through a few mortgage payments.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And one thing led to another. And on my last day there, I founded Xanadu Public Relations, which was my public relations agency that I was running for mm-hmm. about 5 years after that.
Let's transition because I really want to spend time on what you're doing today. Where are you today? What are you doing? And was that something that was percolating for you? Was there like a fire in your belly to do what you're doing today? And tell us a little bit about that story.
While I was doing PR, I got into the fashion industry mm-hmm. in St. Louis, which was a shocking experience. I learned a lot about St. Louis, how people think, how ready they are for growth, for change. And I thought, you know, I can bring something to St. Louis that is inspiring for progression. So I sat down with a couple of people and said, I'm thinking about starting a magazine. Their level of excitement encouraged me, and they gave me the support and the affirmation I needed to go for it. So I started a women's magazine. It started as a fashion magazine. And over time, it has transitioned to a lifestyle brand.
Right.
We are an influencer brand mm-hmm. with Gazelle Magazine, STL County News, and under the Gazelle Media umbrella, we have 3 podcasts running right now in both video and audio. You mm-hmm. can download my podcast, Just Sila, on your favorite app. But we are now in a time where influencer branding is very important. People want to know the people behind things. They
yes.
want to feel a connection, a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't do that in print format. It became necessary for me as a business person to transition and start sharing my life and the life of the women I come into contact with all the time
right.
with voice. And so as people are getting to know us and are getting excited about the things that we're doing, we are realizing that being a multimedia brand is going to be our strength moving into the future.
Mm-hmm. When you and I met, you gave me a few issues of Gazelle, and it is a beautiful, beautiful magazine. I mean, it truly is a step above anything that I've seen.
Thank you.
It's just beautiful. Where does the name Gazelle come from?
So being from Zambia, I'm inspired by things in my culture, in my environment. There's an African fable that says that every morning when a gazelle wakes up, it has to run faster than the fastest lion to survive. And every morning when a lion wakes up, it has to run faster than the slowest gazelle to survive. So when you think about it, every morning when you wake up, when I wake up, it's survival of the fittest.
Right.
And I'm fit.
You're running. Right.
I am running. You're outrunning something. Sometimes you're outrunning your own doubts. You have to outrun the challenges that are happening on a daily basis. In order for me to drive this, and the women we feature in Gazelle, we have a section called Gazelles in Our Midst. They are running. They are finding their space.
Right. One of your issues, I think it's the September-October issue, on the front cover is a gorgeous picture of yourself and your daughter, Nala, right?
Yes, Nala, yes.
Yes, and so I'm thinking, I mean, you truly are about impact, and you're wanting to raise up more gazelles, aren't you? Because you're building into starting with your daughter. I remember reading something from her, and she said, emotionally, I left more than what I came with.
Yes.
And for me, that was the best part of my day, with doing this photo shoot with my mom. And she said it actually really increased the bond between the two of you.
It was very bonding.
Yeah.
Because we had just gone through a couple of years of hardship as mother and daughter. I was having trouble letting go. Of her, understanding that she was growing into her own womanhood
right.
And wanting to control everything. So it caused a lot of tension. And mm-hmm. she was like me when I look back, wanting to go out there and make her life happen.
Sure.
So when we did this photo shoot, it was intended to be a private moment for me and her to be in the moment and bond and enjoy the day as mother and daughter. It was not meant to be on the cover of the magazine. But to ask your daughter, who's used to seeing you out in public and is not a fan of you speaking and all this stuff, because it's a lot for mm-hmm. our children when you're a trailblazing parent. Our kids may want more private lives, and we push them into the spotlight when they're not ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to get her permission to use the photo on the cover, and I'm glad that she said yes.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. And I wanted it to be an inspiration for parents who are going through things with their children to grasp
create
the special
those moments. I completely relate to that. I can remember, you know, because I've got three kids of my own, two of which are girls, and I remember my middle daughter one time just saying, "You do you, I do me."
Oh,
you know?
Yes.
And
yes.
And it's that tension of, you know, wanting to be your own person and growing into that. But then, you know, as a mom, it's hard sometimes because you don't want them to, you know, make mistakes. But I think that that's a mistake on our part when we don't allow them to have a struggle, right?
And ultimately, you want them to avoid the mistakes you made, but you just can't have control over all of it all. Everybody
right.
has their own journey
yes.
to walk
and
through.
You and I both know, because we're on the other side of those teen years.
Yes, yes.
We both know that sometimes it's the mistakes, it's the failures, if you will. That's where you grow as a person and you learn. So, you know, when we as parents are trying to insulate our children from that, I think we're truly doing them a disservice. But I totally remember that tension, you know, during the teenage years, and especially moms and daughters, I think, you know.
Oh, yes.
So, goodness gracious, Scylla, we have so many things to talk about, but I do want to talk about something extra. Can you tell us about something extra, either in a team member, a parent, a coach, a mentor that's spoken into you? What is there something extra?
My something extra is my community editor, Trish Moiko-Tobin.
Oh, yes.
She truly is my something extra. So many know her as the editor-in-chief at Ladue News for 10 years. She looked at Gazelle and made a leap of faith and brought so much knowledge and expertise that has made it possible for us to have even more impact from a community level on St. Louis. But even more than that, she's an immigrant from the Philippines. She went to Mizzou.
I didn't know that about her.
Yes,
I know.
She has an interesting story, a beautiful story. And to be able to tap into her actual life, not her brand as,
a society woman,
has just been amazing. Because she's living her dreams, I believe, through the fact that I just give so much freedom to my team to be themselves.
Right.
So she truly has made it extra special for us at Gazelle.
Well, thank you. I'm sure that she will appreciate you calling her out. Has there ever been a leadership misstep with you, Scylla, or a something extra that's missing that you can tell us about?
Yes, I think my leadership misstep, and it took me a long time to realize this, is to feel comfortable with where I was. So we were a print magazine. We were putting out magazines issue after issue. They all looked great. Everybody loved them. People picked them up. We were not thinking about what's coming ahead. And what came ahead was digital, the internet.
Yes.
Change in the way people are consuming news and information.
The news, right.
I was comfortable for so long. I believe I made that realization a moment too late, which is making it harder for us to have as much impact in the multimedia realm as I wanted to have. We should have studied this right when we studied Gazelle, but we are catching up.
Right. Yes, you are.
So not being comfortable with just where you are, feeling that everything's fine, you have to keep thinking about the next step and keeping your eye on the trends and what's happening in the market and the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think so many times, especially entrepreneurs that are starting something, you're just so much in the day-to-day getting it started and creating something that is an excellent product. And it's hard to carve out that time to even look outside of what's going on. But that is great advice. You got to keep both of those things going. You know, you can't get just bury your head in the sand with what you're doing. You've got to keep taking in this information, like you said, looking at how people are consuming and then transition. So that is excellent advice. So tell me, what do you believe is something extra that every leader needs?
Every leader needs to be strong enough to take major risks. There's just nothing about entrepreneurship and leadership that says comfort.
Right.
So to be able to reach your goals and take your team forward with you, you have to be a risk taker. You have to not be afraid of what might happen. Because it might not happen.
Sure.
But if you think about the trailblazers, people who invent, people who keep us excited, they are risk takers. I mean, Facebook, Instagram, Google, all those companies, Square, those are not people who were safe. So being able to be comfortable taking risks and being okay with, I hate the word fail.
I do too.
I think it's a pause. It gives you an opportunity to pause and shift in a different direction.
Yes.
If you recognize the moment for what it is, then it stops making you afraid to break
to go
barriers.
For it. Right, to just do it. Yeah, and I think about, I was just telling somebody the other day, it's really not about the failing, it's about what you do with that and how you pick yourself back up. Like Walt Disney had this huge dream of this amusement park. He went to over 500 banks before he had a bank say, yeah, we believe in this too. And I said, think about if he had stopped at 499.
Oh, yes.
We wouldn't have Disney World. Disney is such a humongous, iconic brand now. But it's really having that resilience, even when you get rejected.
Just having resilience and believing in what you're producing. Because the fact that it's a revolution of whatever market you're in means people are not used to seeing it. It's different.
It's
strange.
Yes.
It's new. until they see what will happen to it, they're not going to believe in it. So you're the one who has to believe in what you're creating. Everybody else will catch up.
I'll be quoting you from now on that. That's perfect. So, Sheila, is there something that you want to tell our listeners about that's coming up for you that is super exciting that they can get involved in? And if so, how would they get involved?
We are launching Gazelle Live. As I mentioned, we have several podcasts and we talk to a lot of dynamic women. Mm-hmm. We are taking the magazine, the stories, the phenomenal energy that we are getting with everything that we're doing to the stage. So Gazelle Live is a live podcast event and awards series, because we'll be giving awards to gazelles in our midst with mm-hmm. each event every couple of months. We are in talks with a university that has been a great supporter of ours. Once all that is lined up, we will release the information. Please follow us on social media. Search Gazelle Magazine. Mm-hmm. Search hashtag Gazelle Live. And be at the forefront of this revolution that we are starting.
That is so exciting. I can't wait. I can't wait.
Excited.
So when does the first one launch?
We are looking at May. So Gazelle Live will be coming to St. Louis.
So exciting. All right. Well, Sheila, this has just been so much fun. I think you and I could probably sit here for hours and
absolutely.
Hours.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for making the time. I'm so excited. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Proud of you. And you're one of those people that's putting that great vibe out there. And so I'm proud of what you're doing, and I'm excited to call you my friend.
I am too. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share something extra.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.